Today, while I was at work, I was looking at something called taxonomy, and taxonomy is pretty much about how you classify products or services. You could have sort of one, say the group could be computer products, and then underneath that, or can say computer services, and then underneath that, you could have networks, data security, data management, desktop support, help desk, and these are sort of product classifications. And taxonomy, I looked this up, and there was a thing on Wikipedia about taxonomy, and it caught my eye because it showed you the Greek behind it, and I thought, well, that's interesting. And it says taxi or taxis means arrangement. And nomia means method. And that really struck a chord with me because we know that the administration of the mystery, the oikonomia, oikos meaning house, nomia meaning administration. Another way of translating nomia is method. And this is really interesting because it just deepens your understanding of the household administration of the mystery. Because the word oikonomia, translated fellowship or dispensation in the King James, the nomia part actually is method. The mystery is the method. It's the God-appointed method. And I thought that shed a new light on it for me, actually, because I'd always thought that nomia, meaning administration, governance, government, but actually it which is true, but nomia can also be translated method. It's the method, and the method in the church, according to God, has got to be the mystery, the method of understanding, the method of preaching and teaching, the method of total governance in the church of how things should all come back to this baseline. The method is the mystery. That's how the what method do we use to run a fellowship? The mystery. Yeah. How do you do it? It's the method, spiritually. So it has to convey to teachers and preachers and ministers that the word oikonomia in the Bible, when it talks about the mystery being the oikonomia, such as in Ephesians 3:9, then what this is the household method, the method to be employed in the church. So I thought that was interesting. Not directly what we're going to look at tonight in the Word, but I thought that was very interesting. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes to Timothy in this chapter, and he says to Timothy, many things. He says that, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 3 he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6 he says, the husbandman or the farmer that labours must be first partaker of the fruits. A farmer has an orchard, say, and as the apples and the pears or the oranges or the cherries or whatever it is, as they grow, then the farmer goes and he tastes the fruit. Yeah, it's coming along, it's good, or it's looking good. Spiritually, with the word, with growing up into Christ, which is the mystery, Paul said to Timothy that the husbandman has to be first partaker of the fruits. The minister who ministers in the body of Christ has got to run the race first, has got to become the partaker of the fruits, has got to really manifest the fruit of Christ in his or her own life before he can teach others how to grow up into Christ. Makes sense, it's just logical. And then he told Timothy that he endures all things for the elect's sake, so that, this is verse 10, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know, this is a great epistle, but we're leading somewhere. We get to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And Paul says, you know, that you study. And the word study there means put a great effort into this. To show yourself approved unto God. Stand and approve before God. You know, that's a wonderful position to be in. A workman. A workman of God's word. You know, a workman in the church, in the body of Christ, a minister in the body of Christ. It's more than just getting the concordance out. It's more than just, you know, study of the word in a sense, but it involves that. A workman in the body of Christ is someone who ministers, who's a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet, an apostle, a pastor, you know, somebody who ministers. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, taking a straight cutting from the word of truth, not taking like jigsaw pieces of the word and putting it together all badly so that it's the wrong things are said and done, or the wrong things are ministered in the wrong way. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, these two characters, Paul pointed out, because they were actually polluting the church. And it says, who, verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred. And there are many today who have erred concerning the truth. And if you don't have a real strong grounding in the mystery, you're very much likely to be erring in the truth in some areas of your understanding or of your walk. So it's absolutely imperative that you get to understand the mystery. Ask God what it's all about if you don't know. And he will teach you. He will put people in your path who will teach you. And he will teach you directly himself. Jesus Christ will show it to you. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that their resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Okay. And then, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that belong to him, that is. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, what we've just done there is we've set the scene for the next two verses, and this is what I want to look at tonight. It says, but in a grey house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth or clay. Some to honour and some to dishonour. Now this is what we want to look at tonight. Because our heart's desire, when we understand this here, is that we should desire to become vessels of honour. What Paul is saying here, in the context of what he's just taught Timothy, especially about rightly dividing the word of God, about Hymenaeus and Philetus being two examples of people who have erred in the faith. Okay, so what they were carrying wasn't the true word. And Paul was encouraging Timothy to rightly divide the word so that he stood approved before God. And he said, look, Timothy, that in a grey house, physically now, in a big house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. Now, in a house, a vessel is obviously something, a container, something that contains something. In a physical house, you will have some vessels of gold or silver, or of something that's worth for honourable things. But you would have a plastic bucket for swilling out the floors or washing the floors. But you wouldn't put your gold jewellery in a dirty bucket that you use to wash the floor. You see? But what Paul was saying is, look, in a grey house. It's a big house, but you're going to have plastic buckets for rubbish or for swilling out the floors, and you're going to have more expensive vessels, such as gold and silver vessels, to contain more of your things which are more precious, more honourable. And he's relaying this to Timothy, saying that, you know, in God's house, it's the same. Some of the vessels are carrying honour, and some of the vessels are carrying dishonour or no honour. There are some vessels of gold, and there are some vessels of earth, plastic, wood, which is lesser value. A vessel which is carrying gold is of greater value. And then this is really interesting, because in verse 21 it says, Timothy, you know, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, Paul didn't say that every believer is a vessel of gold. He said to become a vessel of gold, or to become a vessel unto honour, he says there's a decision and there's an action involved. Yeah. Now, we've all got, or everybody in the body of Christ in the church, everybody has received the Spirit of Christ. We know that. And the Spirit of Christ is glorious, is honourable. But Paul is not teaching about this here. He's teaching about the heart. He's teaching about what's in your heart. He's teaching about decisions and actions. And your decision and action will determine whether we're a vessel unto honour or to dishonour or to no honour. So how do we become a vessel unto honour? Through a decision, through an action. And it's here, Paul says in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, purge himself from the what the wood and the earth or the clay means in this context, purge himself from the wrong doctrine, from the errors, you know, and instead of error, put the rightly divided word. Instead of standing unapproved before God because people mishandle the word, is standing approved before God as a faithful minister, one that's approved. If a man therefore purge himself of these ways, these errors, look what it says. He should be a vessel unto honour. Sanctified. Sanctified means set apart for a purpose. And we know that we've been sanctified in Christ, but this is about your vessel. This is about you. And your vessel is more than just your body. Your vessel here is your heart. It's your whole makeup. A vessel is a container to carry something or to hold something or to contain something. What are you containing? What are you carrying? We're supposed to be carrying the rightly divided word of God and the nature of God Almighty, Jah, and his Son, Christ. That's what we're supposed to be carrying. That's what our vessel is to be full of. And then, if we purge ourselves from the things which are in error, then we are vessels unto honour. And then it says, and he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use. The word meet here is Old English, means prepared and ready. It's convenient. It's made fitting for the master's use. In a physical house, a master of the house would not take, well, in today's world, you know, we have plastic buckets, as I said, and he wouldn't take a plastic bucket and serve up some dinner in a plastic bucket to a guest. Now, the analogy is very plain. If you're a plastic bucket in the body of Christ, you can't do very much in terms of honouring God. And that's what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking to Timothy about ministry, about serving. And he's talking, saying that, you know, Timothy, you can be a plastic bucket and go serving and have effect. Or you can be a gold vessel, you see. Ones to dishonour, even, and no honour. It's both, in fact, not just dishonour. There was a teaching some years ago to say that where it says dishonour here, it just means no honour. It's not exactly true. If you track it through the word, you'll see that where that word is used is very much in the sense of it being dishonourable. And you don't have to be the brain of Britain or the brain of the world to understand that many are bringing dishonour to God. And this is talking about service, honouring God or dishonouring God. Many, many today dishonour God in their words and actions, in what they carry, in messing up the word. You don't have to look far to see that. It's true. Many ministers today are dishonouring the Father and ripping up the word and putting their own private thinking over it. That's not no honour, that's dishonour. However, fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So, very interesting really, because what sort of, should we be concerned about what vessel we are? Paul's instruction to Timothy was, become a vessel of gold or silver. Don't be a vessel of wood or earth. You know, purge yourself from these things. So therefore, there's actions, there's decisions. There's not, it's not an automatic thing. Not everybody in the body of Christ is a vessel, in this context, unto honour. Everybody has the honour of Christ in them, and Christ is all honourable and all glorious, but it's not talking about that. Here it's talking about service. It's talking about heart. Just a couple of things. The word dishonour is atimia, and it means indignity, disgrace, dishonour, reproach, shame, vile. And it's from atimos, which is like despise, dishonourable, or less honour, or no honour. And that's the way it's described in Strong's Concordance. But if you look at, let's take a look at Romans chapter 1. Verse 24. This is the word atimia, which is the word from which atimia, this is the word atimos, which is the word from that word atimia comes from. And it says here in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves. The word dishonour there is literally vile. It's literally dishonour. It's not less honour or no honour. It's actually, in a negative sense, it's a dishonour. Verse 23, same root word here, chapter 2, verse 23, Romans. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonourest thou God? Again, if this doesn't mean the weak version of, oh, well, you're bringing less honour to God by breaking the law. If you break the law, what Paul's saying, are you not dishonouring God? Paul's not saying, oh, you bringing less honour to God. It's, are you dishonouring God? So, I'm just showing you this because there's been a teaching in the past to say that where it says vessels of dishonour in Timothy, it just means no honour or less honour. Well, you know, that is not a wholesome understanding of what Paul was teaching Timothy. Paul was teaching Timothy about service, about walk. He was teaching Timothy about ministry. Service, ministry, walk can be to dishonor. You'd have to be blind upon blind not to see that. You know, people today dishonor God in so-called service to God. They bring dishonor to the name of God. You know? Yet they still be in God's mercy. How great it is, because they still belong to the household. In a great house, you know, not only are there vessels of gold, there's also vessels of, well, in our vernacular, plastic buckets. You know? Yeah. I don't want to be a plastic bucket. You know, but what is our heart? What is our heart? Vessels carry something. Interesting, the word vessel is skenos, or skenos, from skene, and a similar word to that, and its root here, is about tent making. And they used to build tabernacles, and a tabernacle would hold something, wouldn't it? And that's what this where this word comes from. Sort of interesting. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3. What should be in our vessel? You know, if we want to be a vessel of honor in ministry, we have to have the rightly divided word. We have to purge ourselves from things which are not of the nature of God and which are the wrongly divided word. We are to be carriers of God's rightly divided word. And if we're carriers of God's rightly divided word, we are an honor to him in his household. And that's what Paul was teaching Timothy. You know? And isn't that a wonderful thing? I think that's terrific. Verse 17, it's a heart decision. This is 17 of chapter 3 Ephesians. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. You see? Now, this is more here than what Paul was teaching Timothy, because Paul was teaching ministry to Timothy. He was teaching about service and ministry. Here, this is for every believer to have Christ dwell in their hearts. We are a vessel. And there are many things, or quite a few things, that are said in the Word of God about us being a vessel. What is in your vessel? Is it Christ? If Christ is dwelling in your heart, again, outside of a ministry context in terms of 2 Timothy chapter 2, here, someone who has Christ in their heart is a vessel unto great honor to God. Somebody who has Christ in them just by spirit, and their heart hasn't been exercised to be fashioned into the image of Christ, is not a vessel unto honor yet in terms of their actions. Okay. And again, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talks about earthen vessels here. And we need to get to a more wholesome understanding that Paul was not just saying that it's Christ's spirit in them, full stop. Paul was really talking here about having their hearts exercised unto the Christ nature in them. And he says here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, well, let's read it. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, here was East calling us earthen vessels rather than vessels of gold, yeah? So we've got back to the plastic buckets syndrome. But not quite, because we have to understand the context. When Paul was using the word vessels in the context of service, it meant a particular thing. Here, it's in a different context. It's not in the context of service and ministry. It's in the context of a acquiring by experience the knowledge of the glory of God and of being changed into the image of Christ from one glory to another glory. And that's the glory, that's the excellency of what's in the earthen vessel. That's the treasure of what's in the earthen vessel. So here Paul is talking about it in a different context. He's not saying to Timothy, look, Timothy, you and I can be vessels of gold for ministry, but everyone else is a clay pot, you know, or a vessel of the of earth. Now, it's different in context, so we need to have a mature understanding. And this is not just about having Christ in us. This is in the context. Well, let's look at this. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay. It's not about the flesh. This excellency, this power, this glory is not about the flesh. It's not ours, of ourselves. It's a free gift of grace from God, and then it's his working in us. Let's look at the context he's talking in. Firstly, verse 4. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's not Romans 10:9-10, pure salvation, receiving Christ in you, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. It's more than that. This is afterwards. This is about God nurturing his children. He which has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ. So this is the continuing work where God works in our hearts. Look at it. Shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. Now, the knowledge here is knowledge by experience. So the treasure in the earthen vessels comes around by God shining in our hearts and us living the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the knowledge. And in the previous chapter, remember there were no chapter breaks, the last verse of the previous chapter, which is the same context this is written in, but we all with open face, you know, look what's going on in this vessel, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass and a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by God. You see, it's the excellency of the power in these earthen vessels are not of us, but they're of God. And it's talking here, this whole thing about, in this context, about the vessel is, we have a vessel. In us is the knowledge by experience. And in our hearts, we're being transformed into the same image of Christ from glory to glory. That's what's going on in the vessel. You see? So, here we've got the vessel of being fashioned into the glory of Christ. In Timothy, very interestingly, we've got the vessel being in terms of ministry. So let's go back there because I want to sort of finish there. You know, I said tonight would be a short teaching, so 29 minutes, not bad. So there is something else I want to look at. Espresso teaching. There is something else I want to look at before we do finish. But just for a minute, let's just take a look again at Timothy. Because I think we'll see it now, because we've seen a bigger picture of it. All the things in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that Paul is instructing Timothy about ministry. And he's sharpening him up. He's making him wise. And he talks there about Hymenaeus and Philetus who've heard concerning the faith. And he says, purge yourself from these errors. And if you do, and if you're rightly dividing the word of God, he says, if you're in this way, he says, you'll be a vessel. A gold vessel in this grand house of God. Verse 20, but in a grey house there are not only vessels of gold. This is 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a grey house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the dishonourable things, he shall be a vessel unto honour, set apart, sanctified, set apart for a purpose, and meat for the master's use. You know, to be a good minister, you need to be meat for the master's use. Yeah. It means that your vessel being a vessel of gold unto honour, it means that when God calls upon you to do his work, is that you're doing it to his glory. And, you know, in the way that a master in a physical house will take the best pot for the most honourable purpose, spiritually, God also looks on his servants in the same way, his ministers. Jesus Christ will empower the ministers in the body of Christ to do the great things, spiritually value. I don't mean in numbers or whether it's famous, but of spiritual worth. The gold will be done. The honourable, the great honourable things will be done by the vessels of gold unto honour. What sort of vessel do you want to be? Very enlightening. I think this is tremendous. And then there is another side to this vessel. The word says in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And it talks about, in this way, it talks about your body being a vessel. And it says in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please God, pleasing God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now look, what the word is saying here is that there is a sanctification more than an automatic rite, and it's how you walk. For this is the will of God for you. This is how you will come into your sanctification. That you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honour. It's talking about your physical vessel. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we have also forewarned you and testified. This is about the walk. This is about us being concerned that our vessel is walking in honour and integrity and is not walking the way of the Gentiles. And that, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Everything that we do should be unto holiness, not the uncleanness of the Gentiles. And he therefore that despiseth, and there were some that despise this teaching because they're so bombed out on the wrong understanding of grace. He that therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So tonight we've looked at a number of things about vessels. And what vessel do we want to be? Vessels of gold unto honour, in service, in our walk, you know, and even the earthen vessel, what's going on in that vessel in a different context is that we are just physical frames like an earthen vessel, but what's going on is something so grand in the sense of God shining the light of his glory in the face of Christ in our hearts, that we're beginning to come into by experience the knowledge of the glory of God. We're living that knowledge of the glory of God, of what it really is. And we're being changed into the same image from glory to glory. So all these different aspects, you know, to summarize it, there's what we've just said in terms of the glory of being changed into that image of Christ from glory to glory. You know, what wonderful thing in everybody's heart as a vessel. We have Christ in us, in our physical bodies. Now that's the lowest point for a Christian. The lowest point for a Christian. Because above that, we're being changed into the same image. And it's Christ in the heart. Christ to dwell in the heart, not just by spirit, as a free gift that God gave us, It's something more to have your heart fashioned in that way. And then in ministry, for us to be vessels of gold, fit for the Master's use, purged from wrong doctrine, wrongly dividing the word, fully instructed in the things of the mystery, the method of God's household, the method of how God wants it done. Everyone's got a method. Very few people have got the method, the mystery, the Christ in you, the growing up into Christ, the real heart of that mystery, you know. But to be a vessel unto honour, fit for the Master's use, that's where we have to go. We have to purge ourselves from wrongly divided doctrine. And finally, the physical vessel that we've been instructed how to walk, not in the way of the Gentiles, but for us to contain the nature of God, the rightly divided word of God, and for us to walk out and for us to have Christ effervescent from our vessels. This is the light of the word. This is what, this is for me, this is great instruction. You know, what's in the vessel is to shine. What's in the vessel is for the honor of God. What's in the vessel is not of our power, but of God at work. Yeah. How to be a great minister. Paul was teaching Timothy, vessels of gold and silver unto great honor in the Master's house. You know, set apart for this purpose and of ministering, and fit for the Master's use. You know, I want to be fit for the Master's use. I don't want to be a Hymenaeus or Philetus. I don't want to be someone who doesn't hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Someone who's ignorant of the household method, God's method for running the church. God's method, the nomia, oikonomia, you know. So it all ties together. And that's it. So that's something just on what the word says about vessels. And I think that is very enlightening.